Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Luke chapter 5, verses 33 through 39. The Reverend Dr. Matthew Harrison is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Mark, the 5th chapter. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains. But he wrenched the chains apart and broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him, and crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send him out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs, let them enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country, and the people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with the demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed by a demon begged him that he might be with him. And Jesus did not allow it. But he says to him, "Go into your house and to your own, and announce to them what the Lord has done to you and had mercy upon you." And he departed and he began to kerissein, to proclaim in the Decapolis as much as Jesus had done for him. And everybody was amazed. What a magnificent text. I won't talk about much of it. There's a little word, sous, there. Go to your own. Return to your own. You know, there's an old joke. It's very appropriate these days. The guy is standing on the roof of his house, and it's in a flood. There's water everywhere. He can't get away. And the first guy comes along. He's got a boat. He says, "Hop in the boat." The guy says, "No, God will save me." Then the next boat comes along. "No, God will save me." Then a bigger boat. "I don't need your help. God is going to save me." Then a helicopter comes along. He says, "No, God's going to save me." And then the floodwaters come up, kill the guy. He goes to heaven. He says, "God, where were you?" And God says, "I sent you three boats and a helicopter, you idiot." God works through means. And he works through us. He works through you. For yours, for the people around you. The Bible does not give us detailed and definite instructions and directions on what we are to do in life. aside from the fact that we are called to love where the Lord has put us. Thus the Gadarene, go to yours, love them. First off, tell them about me. What is specific is that we are to love all people where God has placed us. There are a vast multitude of vocations in life and callings. Some of them we're placed into by birth, son and daughter, and parent and aunt and uncle and grandparent and grandchild. Some we're placed into by virtue of where we live or where we work and who we know. And we have the sacred obligation to love those around us in various concrete ways. This is not only by not misusing God's name or failing to hear God's word or dishonoring authority or harming our neighbor or doing bad things or thinking bad thoughts sexually or stealing or gossiping or wanting our neighbor's stuff. We have a sacred calling and mandate to love our neighbor by doing the positive flip side of every negative commandment. By honoring God for the sake of our family and our friends and our co-workers. By using God's name rightly to pray for them. Hearing God's word is a motivation to love people around us. Honoring and living honorably with respect to government and parents. Not only not harming our neighbor, but helping and being service to him in every physical need. Helping our spouse to live chastely in love by being chaste and loving to our spouse. Being generous with our possessions. Speaking good things about other people, even when things go badly. Desiring good things for those around us and not being jealous of their stuff. When we are put in a place, a station, a vocation, or many vocations in life, this really defines what our love to others looks like. Even more specifically than the definition of love given by the Ten Commandments. Luther said, God is a great Lord and has many kinds of servants. And he does. He divided these many into three categories. Those having to do with the ministry of the gospel of Christ, the family, and government and secular affairs. Because God has created all of these, they all deserve equal respect and honor. All of us here have vocations serving the gospel of Christ and Christ's mercy, caring for his servants and people, assisting the church in reaching the lost. Every one of you, each one of you, has a specific, worthy, and important task, tasks and duties, and goals toward that end. All of them are honorable, and they're important. And you, for the sake of that fact, should be treated honorably and treasured. You also have family vocations, and it behooves us at this place, or wherever you're located around the globe, to honor and uphold you in these vital vocations too. You have family that depend on you. It wouldn't be right if we would treat you in a way that would make it harder for you to serve them in love. There's nothing glorious about sacrificing family for the sake of the gospel. And you have your vocations in the secular realm, in your community, under various governments. You have the right and responsibility to vote, to urge just and good laws based upon natural law and the Ten Commandments. We encourage you to participate in government and be voices for good. Your spouses and children and relatives serve in the military. They have myriads of vocations working for good in secular realms. These are all, as Luther said, God's masks to do good for people. Luther says these stations must remain if this world is to stand. God uses all these vocations to preserve the world, to maintain love and justice. Where they're distorted by sin, there is the vocation to oppose and stand fast and confess. We must confess God rather than men. Every vocation is about serving God via my neighbor. Whether people know it or not, so far as they are doing something that benefits others, they're fulfilling God's intentions to care for and preserve this world. But Christians have a wonderful advantage, and that advantage is yours. Some round-collar guys like me get all wound up about saying a wife of a missionary is a called missionary, or a layperson has a call. Luther didn't get wound up about that. He said every Christian, insofar as he belongs to a particular station in life, may also feel that he has been called by God. You are called to your stations and vocations in life. And you know it by the people that are around you and depend upon you, at home, at work. You have a sacred and holy calling. What you do is holy. I'm performing a holy task, preaching to you today. And there's a special holiness to preaching Christ and his blessed forgiveness. But there's also a very deep and special holiness in everything you do in service to others. My preaching and prancing about as president of the synod ain't going to win me any points before God. Christ has won all that. There's no way what I do is holier than what you do. I have a different vocation than you do. And what you do in your place is holy, and because of Christ, it is completely pleasing. Your task, your vocation, your attention to accounting or insurance or missionaries or communications or management or listening to your coworker, your kindness, your service when it's not easy, or your service when somebody aggravates you around here, those are in Christ holy and sacred acts of love. It's your calling. Luther said, every Christian, insofar as he belongs to a particular station in life, may also feel that he has been called. And your service is pleasing to Jesus. Jesus said, whatsoever you do in the least to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. That means, will you change the diaper of your child or your neighbor's child or that mom at church who needs some extra help? It's as though you are serving and changing the diaper of Jesus himself. It's true. What else does it mean? Whatsoever you've done to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. You are forgiven in Christ, and you're free to pursue what you find meaningful and joyous. And maybe this vocation isn't where you want to end up in life. Maybe you have other ideas or thoughts. There's no sin in that. There's no sin in wanting to improve or do something different or special, but never fall into the trap of thinking that you aren't placed right now at home, at work, in your community, in a vocation that is holy and sacred and pleasing to God and deeply meaningful and deeply appreciated by him. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.